break the ice while you consider. I really enjoyed this week's the ministry on the matter of material offerings, and especially this story concerning the young ruler and Zacchaeus. You know, the young ruler was seeking eternal life, but the Lord, it's not that the Lord wanted to challenge him. Actually, I believe in Mark, the Lord says, looking at him, the Lord loved him. And he pointed out that you lack one thing, sell all that you have and come and follow me. And, you know, the sad part is he went away sorrowing. He did not stay around to hear what the Lord said. With man, it's impossible, but not with God. And then Peter asks, you know, who can be saved? Lord says, it is easier for a camel to enter through the eye of a needle. And I was quite touched with this that the Lord used camel. You know, camel go through desert. Camel is known for storing water in the humps, right? So Lord touched me, this word about storing. Now I'm getting older, not at the age of retirement yet, but sometime I do start to look at my pension a little bit more. Oh, okay, how has it been growing? So the Lord just touched me. What are you storing? Are you storing your pension? And by nature, I'm a very calculated person. My favorite way of shopping is by coupons on sales. So I can count, but Lord, we don't want to just store things in the world so that mammon becomes something that we worship. Mm-hmm. So I just want to share a little testimony that I have recently. Recently, I had some financial dealing with a brother, and the Lord touched me to actually reduce what I charge him. And, you know, right away, I think, you know, I'm thinking, how much should I reduce? 10%, 15%, 20%? Gears start going in my mind, you know. So eventually, I'd reduce by a certain amount. But it just shows that so much, many times, that money is something that really holds on to our heart. So unconsciously, we're just considering, you know, nothing wrong with storing, saving for your retirement, saving for your children's education. We need to be responsible. We need to be, we need to save. We need to prepare. But I appreciate the word this week that the Lord is not after how much money that we can give. It's not the amount, it's the percentage, but how much percentage really reflects where our hearts are at. We love the Lord, but we also love a lot of other things. With the widow, it's 100%. That, to me, is impossible, unfathomable. But that's what the Lord is after. The Lord wants our heart. And so many times, through many dealings that we have with the material offerings, times and times again, the Lord is after our heart. And many times we fail, but that's how the Lord touch our heart, expose what's in our heart, and the Lord needs to gain our heart through the material offerings. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord wants to gain our heart. You know, it's probably not right to say mammon is an idol, right? If you say mammon is an idol, then you say, well, if it's an idol, I have to burn it, you know? I mean, I have to cast it on the graves of the poor people or put it in the Brook Kidron. I mean, Moses didn't, recover the gold from the calf, right? He ground it into powder and cast it on the water, right? But we know water, but we know the love of money is the root of all evil. You know, money, I think maybe last week or the other week, Moses' rod was mentioned, right? I mean, the rod maybe is something good, you know, but, you know, it could also be, I mean, when he threw it down, it became a certain. Then he had to pick it up by its tail. So, I mean, mammon is something you have to pick it up by its tail, you know. Right. You know, the love of money is the root of all evil, but on the other hand, you know, there's the verse in Luke that says we should make friends with the mammon of unrighteousness. Right. So, you know, mammon itself is not, you know, it could have an evil effect, but, you know, it handled correctly, you could make friends with the mammon of unrighteousness, and surely we should do that, you know.
Amen.
You know, I just wanted to mention something I came across in my my daily reading, you know. I think, praise the Lord for reading through the Bible chapter by chapter, verse by verse, book by book. But this is from the book of Nehemiah. And I thought that this was interesting. Pardon me if there's a little bit of a digression here, but most of it is to the point. It says, on that day, on the day when the wall was completed and the two choirs went up and marched around and met at the house of God, you know, at the temple, right? It says, on that day, they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced because God had given them great joy.
Amen.
Even the women and children rejoiced.
I
don't remember any verses like that which says even the women and children rejoice. You know, I don't know if there's any other verse like that, but praise the Lord, we want the children and the women. I mean, praise the Lord. You know, when God does something, we should all rejoice. Even the women and the children. Surely the children, right? Whenever God does something, we want even the children to be involved, you know. It says, on that day, men were also appointed over the chambers for the stores, the contributions, the first fruits, and the tithes.
Amen.
So, I mean, I just wanted to mention, you know, I mean, I think in the past we heard many times about tithing, right?
Tithing.
But there's actually, I think there's more than one category of giving, you know, that the Lord wants us to consider, you know. This one says contributions. That's one category, you know.
Right.
And then there's tithes. That's another category. So, I mean, if you do your tithe, there should probably still be some contributions, you know. So there's the three feasts, no one shall appear before me empty. So there had to be some contribution in addition to the tithe, right? And then it says the first fruits, right? The first fruits is also something, I believe, in addition to the tithe, you know. You know, and so it says in... And then the first word about giving, I think, the first word about giving, maybe it's not, but it's close to the first word about giving in the New Testament. The Lord says, take heed that you do not your alms before men, you know. Alms is a little different, you know. Tithes, so it says, so all Israel in the days of Zerubbabel and Nehemiah gave the portions due the singers and the gatekeepers as each day required. You know, and set apart the consecrated portion for the Levites, and the Levites set apart the consecrated portion for the sons of Aaron. You know, the consecrated portion was actually the tithes.
Amen.
You know, the tithes went to the Levites, and then the tithe of the tithes went to the priests.
That's,
you know?
Right.
So, you know, so that's just out of one category of giving, you know, but this other category, alms, it means, you know, it's actually mentioned more than once, you know, but... Alms is giving something, it's kind of a mercy, giving to the poor, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, I think all these categories of giving, you know, we need to be faithful to the Lord in all these matters, you know. You know, I heard someone say maybe it amounts to 20%, but I haven't done any of the math.
Right.
But, I mean, if the tithe is 10%, one out of 10 sheep that goes under the rod, you know.
Right.
The other things are in addition to that. So I know that's what I want to say in addition. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Peter was asking people to raise their hands, and he was calling off the decades. And I didn't know when to raise my hand because my parents brought me here in the 50s when I was a child, so he didn't even call my decade. So I didn't know. And then I didn't give offerings when I in the 60s because I wasn't old enough, so I didn't know when to raise my hand. So anyway, praise the Lord. I have very few things to be proud of in my life because I don't want you to be all down and stuff like that. But I'm not here to boast about myself. I'm just here to boast in the Lord. in the Lord's faithfulness. I was not blessed with really super great health. And in the early days of my marriage, I was really pretty sick. And there were times when things were pretty bad for our family. But the Lord used people, including my brother-in-law, to help us. And we were never in the street. And as you can tell, I mean, I never missed a meal, right? So the Lord was faithful. And I'm not going to say that I was faithful to the Lord in giving. I was a little bit faithful and not really all that consistent. But even my little faithfulness, if you could call it that, and my inconsistent giving, the Lord took care of me in a very faithful way. I've lost jobs due to my illness, and my wife lost job, you know, because she was laid off. But the Lord has always taken care of our needs. And I can testify because I'm on finance also, and I saw what happened in the months leading up to the purchase of Hall 2. And we were short a lot of money. And it came in a very short time, not by arm twisting, not by a giant thermometer, or not by bake sales or bingo, but because the Lord touched the saints' hearts. And it's a powerful testimony, and it's a glory to the Lord. It's not a glory to any person. And none of us want to come up here and boast. Our boast, our only boast, is in the Lord. Everything that we have comes from Him. And if you don't believe so, think about it. Peter was talking about the value of a person. You punch in how tall you are. Well, you know what? Your height comes from the Lord, right? What you look like, what your background is, your education, your upbringing, your family, that all was sovereignly arranged by the Lord. And your skill set and everything that you have and your ability or your looks or anything that you count on to do your work and make your living, that all came from the Lord. So none of it came from us. You know, everything that we have comes from the Lord. And actually, the Lord purchased us, and we even belong to Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. We love the Lord Jesus, Amen. And our heart is for the Lord Jesus, and we don't worship mammon. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. This is a hard subject to talk about. And when the brothers brought up what we would be covering for the next several weeks, I probably felt like a lot of you, like, uh-oh, what's going on? And I think it's because whenever we touch the subject of money, we really touch us. You know what I mean? We don't like to admit it, but money has hold on all of us. And I realize it's something that we have to continuously be saved from. There are two kind of worshipers, you know, in the Bible. Those who serve God and those who serve mammon. Mm-hmm. No in between. So we have to be checked constantly to be saved from the love of money and what money can buy. And I realized that because recently I bought an apartment. So it's very easy to fall into all those things our brother was talking about, shopping online, you know, everything your eye sees, it's so good, and you don't realize how real covetousness is in us and something that we have to overcome all the time. But on the other side, I also have a burden for the younger generation, as they were sharing. I feel very sad because I don't know how good a job we did with them. You know, when I was growing up, we were taught, you know, and a brother had shared early on, at minimum in the Old Testament, it's 1/10 of what you make goes to the Lord. And a brother encouraged us, be legal about that. If you start getting in your mind, the amount will get lower and lower the more you consider it. Just be legal, you know. So there was a time, and actually Brother Benjamin had shared his testimony, and that helped me a lot because I was going exactly through the same thing. I went back to college. I was living in the sister's house, and I began to struggle, you know, because I was working for my father, but the company moved to New Jersey. Anyway, I started, you know, Lord, I'm a poor college student. You understand. And Benjamin had the same words when he came. He said, Lord, I'm a poor college student. You understand. I'll give to you later when I start working. And of course, the Lord does understand, you know. So I really pulled back on my giving, and I began to suffer financially. The car breaking, the this, the that, and I couldn't figure out why until Brother Benjamin shared that testimony. And then that really helped her. I was like, sorry, Lord, I'm so dumb. I didn't trust you. Malachi said, test me. Test me. The Lord said, just test me, and I will open the windows of heaven to you. But if you don't, your money will have wings on it and will fly away. That's where that expression comes from, by the way. And your pockets will have holes in them, and it'll fall through. And I felt like that's what I was going through. So I went back in faith and did it. And the Lord was so faithful, so faithful. I can't tell you. I mean, I went through an experience then. I don't want to share it with you now. It's too much. But, you know, even fast forward now, how the Lord's taking care of me. I mean, I've never asked my boss for a raise. Never. And I don't plan to. But sometimes I'm so surprised, like what's this, you know? And then the Lord will remind me of this little thing, and I'm like, for that, you gave me this? Are you kidding, Lord? You're too much. You're just too much. So he's very, very, very faithful. Very, just test him. Prove him.
Amen. Our Lord is faithful, and he's the owner. He's the Lord all of all. So, we must trust the Lord. Right, just like I said, if you don't, your faith is not strong, you have to test him. Once you test him, you know how the Lord's faithful. When my wife and I just got married, we sat down to look at our money, our salary. At that time, we say, Lord, the marriage is yours, the money is yours. So we decided how to handle the money. Right? For the Lord, for the Lord's work. And I can tell you, I retired this year, but in the past 37 years, we lack nothing. Right? Our life, we gift, we just regular life, but the Lord provide everything. So that's our testimony. The Lord is good, that he owned the whole thing. And we give him pieces, but he give us a whole. Right? We must have this trust and have this has a face. And also I want to give a testimony for another couple. Right? This couple, the wife got hurt from the job. So that's workers' comp case. So at the end, they know they will receive some money, but they thought that maybe just a couple thousand dollars. But when they receive the check, that's a six-digit number in that check for workers' comp. Right? So they decided, say that this is not our salary, it's not our income, right? We should give out. Amen. So they decided to give out. The wife said, well, we want to give out the work. The Lord's move is a tremendous need for the Lord's move in Europe. The Lord's move in the whole earth. So they want to give out the whole thing. Then the husband said, can we do this? We give 50% to the Lord's move on the earth, and give another 50% to the church for the poor, for the needy saints. But the wife did not say anything, but just gave the verse. And she used Matthew 26. The woman, he broke his alabaster ointment to own the Lord. So at that time, the disciple, well, the verse 8, but when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For this could have been sold for many and give to the poor. But Jesus said, knowing this, say to them, why do you trouble this woman? She had done the noble deed for me. For the poor you have with you always, but you do not always have me. So the sister, you use this word, said that for the local saints, the need, we use our income. We continue to use that. But this money, 100%, is for the Lord, for the Lord's move, for the Lord's move on the earth. So so that's how the money, the giving out. Right, so saints, we all have an income. Right? The income come and go. But the Lord needs not just our money. I can tell you, actually, the Lord wants our money. Because where the treasure is, our heart will be there. If the Lord takes our money, the Lord has us. our heart will be for the Lord. So there are many testimonies like this. So we really, we see a lot of young people here. Some of them still in the school. Now they plan, start to plan how they get a job, now how to they start their job. But the world, it really, it's the whole world that lay under the Satan. The Satan used the job, used the money to gain our people. I can tell you that some, one of my my relative, the young people, when he got a job, the first job, the sign-on bonus is $300,000, just for sign-on bonus. How do they know how to use the money? Right. So the world, Satan wants to use money to usurp us. Saints, especially young saints, the more you get a job, when you get to the first job, the second job, the money will attract us. The money, mammon, is idol. So this is a matter of whether you serve Lord or you serve idol. There's nothing in between. So I really appreciate this week and for the next 5 weeks, 4 weeks, we will continue on the material offering. This matter, this had to link to the Lord's heart. Amen. That had to link to our heart. If we give our heart to the Lord, and we will give money to the Lord. And when the Lord gain our money, again, the Lord will gain us. Praise the Lord.
Hey, good morning, saints. For those who don't know me, my name is Xiaoqing Zhang. Everyone calls me Nicole. I'm from Stony Brook University. I'm a PhD student in health and rehabilitation sciences. I know, as you can see, I didn't enter the church life for a long time, but somehow the Lord just touched me. I just want to just come. And I want to share you with some of my just story, maybe not really testimony, but you see if you like it. When I was little, even before I knew God, I wanted to earn a lot of money, but it's not just to have a material successful life. I wanted to do philanthropy. So at that time, when I see the poor people when they are begging, I really want to give them money, but I don't have because my family was poor too. So I think I need to earn money a lot, so that I can give out. So I when I think back, I say, when I was little, I already had that thought. However, so this is why I chose a major in college, international economic and trade, because I think that I can do business. However, after a few volunteer trips to the rural area in China, we were visiting the children who left behind in the rural area under the supervision of their grandparents, relatives, or in some cases alone, because their parents migrated to urban cities for better income opportunities for a long, long period of time. They only come back to visit their kids maybe once a year or even less often than that. So this is the first time I visited them. I participate in a nonprofit program. We brought them school supplies, living supplies, and we spent time with them. And that's the first time I really had this interaction. And I went back, and I really really know about the phenomena of this huge population left behind. According to the Women Federation, 2013, there was estimated 61 million children left behind in rural China. So, I don't anticipate that the number would decrease over the years. And then later I have a few more volunteer trips, and I started to think about what I wanted to start to pursue my further study. When I think about applying for a PhD program, I wanted to do research on them. When I read about the news, it's all about people, it's all about they're having depressive symptoms, they're feeling loneliness, they're having all this anxiety because of the lack of parental care. Even when they're very little, their parents just left them. So I'm very glad that I chose a different career path, in health and rehabilitation, so that I can study the mental health status and what could help them overcome this difficulty despite that their parents are not with them. So that's how I thought about my career. Now, it's not just about money. It's also about our time and our heart. The Lord wants to gain our heart. So through me trying to help those children, eventually my research hope to lead to the intervention program for those children who left behind to see some school program or community program to help them, you know, succeed, to overcome these difficulties. So yeah, I'm thinking like it's really, maybe I don't have to be a billionaire, you know. I can contribute my time, my energy, my whole heart for those people who are in need to really bring them God's blessings. So Father, we love you. Praise the Lord.
Amén, hermanos.
Praise the Lord, brothers.
Quizá en nuestro corazón o nuestra mente ahorita esté el versículo que dice.
Maybe in our hearts right now there is a verse that it says.
Que no sepa tu izquierda lo que hace tu derecha.
Don't let the left hand knows what the right hand.
Que tu vida debe de ser secreta en cuanto a lo que das.
That your life has to be in secret what you give.
Y es verdad.
And that's true.
Pero por causa del mover de Dios en la tierra.
Because of the Lord's move on earth.
Creo que el Señor trajo este tema.
I think the Lord brought this matter about the money.
A la iglesia.
To the church.
No porque Dios necesite dinero.
Not because God needs money.
Dios no es pobre.
God is not poor.
Escrito está que él es dueño del oro y la plata.
It is written he is the owner of the gold and silver.
Todo le pertenece a él.
Everything belongs to him.
Aún lo que poseemos.
Even what we possess.
Lo que yo poseo es de Dios.
What I possess is from God.
Cada uno de nosotros es administrador de los bienes materiales que recibimos de Dios.
Each one of us is administrator of what we possess.
Y en mi vivir, hermanos.
And in my living, dear brothers.
Cada vez que yo recibo mi salario.
Every time I receive my salary.
Oro al Señor y le digo.
I pray to the Lord and I said to him.
Dame sabiduría.
Lord, give me wisdom.
Cómo distribuir.
How to distribute.
El dinero que me das.
The money that you give me.
Porque, hermanos, es bien importante no caer en la tentación.
Because, brothers, it is very important not to fall into temptation.
Creer que es mío.
Believe that it's mine.
Es de Dios.
It's of God.
Y yo soy el administrador.
And I am the administrator.
A mí, hermanos, me encanta un versículo.
There is a verse.
Que es Segunda de Corintios.
2 Corinthians.
9:7.
9:7.
Y dice así, hermanos. Cada uno dé como propuso en su corazón.
Each one give what you purpose in your heart.
No con tristeza.
Not with sadness.
Ni por necesidad.
And or because of necessity.
Porque Dios ama.
Because God loves.
Al dador alegre.
The cheerful giver.
Por eso necesitamos.
That's why we need.
Orar.
We need to pray.
Por cada peso, cada dólar que recibamos en nuestras manos.
For each dollar that we receive.
Presentárselo al Señor.
Present it to the Lord.
Y decirle, Señor,
and say,
¿cómo
Lord,
lo hacemos?
¿Cómo es?
¿Cómo lo distribuyo?
Oh, how we distribute it.
Eso, hermanos, nos salva de que nosotros amemos los bienes materiales.
That saves us from loving the material things.
Y nuestro corazón se vuelve al Señor.
And our hearts will turn to the Lord.
Y amemos al Señor.
And love the Lord.
Todos tienen un testimonio, hermanos.
We all have a testimony.
Así es que si el Señor lo toca, cuéntelo.
So if the Lord touches you, say.
Porque eso nos anima, hermanos.
Because that encourages us.
A seguir.
To go on.
Al Señor.
To go on in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Gracias.
Praise the Lord. In this message, I don't know if you realize there is 5 points that the brothers point out. But I would like to share the first two because it was very touchable. Very, very touching. The first one was that we need to realize that in the Bible describe 2 objects of worship. You know, there is mammon and there is the Lord. And one of the things is that in 1 Thessalonians 1:9, it says that one of our service or our coming to the Lord is just to be away from idols and turn, you know, by turning to this living one, spontaneously we are turning away from idols. You know, everything that is out of God, when we are not enjoying the Lord, it becomes an idol. And this idol is altogether money. It ends with something of money. And the thing is not a... And then he says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, right? But if you don't say in spirit, but they say, blessed are those who are poor, you might say, well, I'm poor, so I'm blessed. So the brother has money, so he might have a problem. So, you know, so the problem is not a matter if you have money or you don't have money. The problem is that the second point is what we need to we need to be delivered. We need deliverance from this, you know. We need to be saved, dear saints. One of the verses that brings me to this matter is in Hebrews 7:25. It says that he is also able, the Lord is able to save us, not only save us at the moment, but it says save us to the uttermost. That means to the all our whole life, he is able to save us. Why? Because he is not saving us because he's God. He's saving us because, and then if you continue reading, it says because he is interceding for us. What a God we have. What a Lord we have, dear saints. He is saving us and he's interceding for us day and night. You know, he is not stopping interceding for us because he wants to gain our hearts. As Brother Ed says that he's our bridegroom. So he wants to marry us and he wants to gain our hearts. So dear brothers, so the Lord wants to gain our hearts. And we need to give our hearts to the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, this way I was touched by the Luke 18. The young rulers asked the Lord how to inherit eternal life. And the Lord just asked in addition to follow, to keep the law, he need to sell all his, like, all things and to follow him. But like through the help of the ministry, I learned that actually the Lord doesn't want us to be poor, doesn't want us to be in poverty, but the Lord even wants us to be rich in him. Yeah, especially like Luke 18:29 says, there's no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God. So see, the first is house, the material thing, and then it's the family. The Lord knows that the money and family touches us. But we need to left them for the sake of kingdom of God. That means that today we can offer all our money to the church, to God, by just like fulfilling the religious duty. But if our heart is not for the kingdom of God, then it's still like the Lord still doesn't want it. And the Lord continued to say, who shall not by all means receive back many times as much in this time and in the coming age eternal life. As we give more, the Lord will repay us more in this age and also eternal life in the coming age. But we just need faith to experience that. And I just want to give a testimony that because I just moved to here from Vancouver, and as you may or may not know, the meeting hall in Vancouver got fired. So it burned down. So we were building the meeting hall, we are planning and we are praying for building our meeting hall for many years. And as we are praying, cause I was just a graduate student at that time. So as we pray, then something just touched me. Although I didn't have that much money, I still try to give out something. Yeah, just a little amount for the building of the meeting hall. But when I graduated this year, I didn't have any income. And I started to wonder, oh no, if I didn't offer that money to the Lord, I probably can still have a better life. But when I have that kind of thought, I just immediately repent to the Lord, confess to the Lord, I shouldn't have that kind of thought. And then later on, in one of the Lord's Day, after one of the Lord's Day's table meeting, the elders asked me, and he just passed an envelope to me. And I just wow, what's this? And when I opened the envelope, it's money. And I said, wow, I was so surprised. I didn't know like somebody will remember me and I will receive an offering. And throughout the few months, when I was looking for a job, I continuously received the offering from the saints, although I don't know who gave me the offerings. And I just praise the Lord for he, I just feel that I can experience the Lord in this way. Amen. And Amen. The Lord is really faithful, carrying all our need. He knows what we need. And even during the period I was looking for a job, because we still need money. The cost for building a meeting hall is huge. So one day the brothers just passed out and offerings or something, like said, so, okay, by the end of this year, like you can fill out the amount, and if you want to offer to the church for the building of the meeting hall. And then at that time, I still hasn't had a job. And I said, oh, how much I should like put down on the offering sheet. So I prayed to the Lord, and then I put a certain amount, then which is like more than like my bank account, like the money, like more than like the money I have in my bank account. But I just like filled it. And then after like a few weeks, I just like got a job, and then the money, like the salary I have surely can, like it's enough to offer for the building up of the meeting hall in Vancouver. Amen. So I just feel like the Lord is really like faithful, and as we are willing to offer, then we will experience his richness and faithfulness.
Amen. One is, we're asking for many testimonies. Actually, in this matter, there's not too much teaching, but we ask the saints for their testimonies because surely the Lord has given us many trials and also lessons. And in this respect, of course, the brothers have mentioned some very big examples with significant amounts of money, but in the Lord's dealing with our heart, there are the big experiences and there are the small experiences. So even the testimonies of the small experiences are very well worth it because we realize that the Lord has dealt with my heart in these experiences. And then the second point I like to bring out is those of us who have served with the children, we realize when the children give, oh, you should observe how the children give. They give with abundant joy. So in this, we should be like the little children. Observe how they give. When you give them a dollar and ask them to choose a portion to put into the offering box, they are so happy. Anyway, let's close here. We have, of course, several more weeks with the opportunity to testify on this matter. Amen. Let's be dismissed.